Well, as you may know, in my study lately, we've been obsessing about human evolution. In spite of all my reading, my travelling and discussions with knowledgeable people like Francis Thackeray, I still feel I have not, and perhaps never can, get to the bottom of it. After all, we have to wait on the evidence, and the picture has changed so much, even over, say, the last 20 years. But I am still with the conviction I gained perhaps a decade ago, after by at that time several years researching, reading the current and its antecedent scientific literature, that our evolution started at a point sometime not long after we parted from the chimps, or perhaps indeed it was the moment when we parted from them, and it was to do with bipedalism, that is, the decision to walk upright. And I think it was a decision because the option was there not to. Our ancestors could have stayed foraging around on all fours like baboons still do, but they didn't. They walked upright, even though they must have thought every day, my feet are killing me, my back is killing me. But they kept doing it, as we do today, and still must teach our infants to do so. Why? I cannot believe it was simply because of food gathering practices, or being able to see predators better. The baboon survived in the same environment without walking upright. I think our ancestors did it because of something else, something social. It made one hands-free most of the time, hands-free and mobile at the same time, and therefore able to carry things, especially, say, a stick, and that gave an advantage, a primarily social advantage, that could not be let go of. This meant behaviour preceded anatomy. There was a willfulness about it. The body was selected for by social requirements to walk. You had to walk to mate. And note all this was well before the increase in brain size, although there are some indications that vocalisation was getting more complex. I also think speech and language drove the evolution of our heads and of our faces, but that came somewhat later. The implication for me is that the old humanist doctrine that, as it was put historically, man makes himself, that has truth. The doctrine was stated by the humanist founding fathers in the Renaissance as an article of faith more than anything, long before there was any idea of evolution as we think of it. But I think the story of evolution is showing that it is true in a more profound way than the well-meaning humanists would ever have imagined. But all that is history, of course. The question that will always trump the ones about the past is, what's next? The idea of progress is another problem subject. It's certainly on my project table. But I'd be looking for something more interesting than bionic man, a brain out there in space-time, ever extending itself with yet more technology. I think of all the generations that strived, struggled perhaps to exhaustion, so often devastated, heartbroken, their worlds, their lives destroyed, swept away without memory, without record, but who nevertheless left bricks in the path we came on and the ground on which we stand now. So many riches, the music, the art, and above all the language. That's the journey we can't let go of.